Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Fabulous Febreze. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with poor old Jimus being told he couldn't count by Darrington. And then Tracy told him he couldn't see and that he hadn't seen two Gleeson twins. He'd seen one Gleeson twin twice. It took Natasha to point out to Helen and Sausage Boy that buying a buffalo on the strength of Ardil being vaguely polite was completely mad. Once that disappointment was over, they cheered themselves up by deciding to write tasting notes for cheese. Helen's suggestions for Borchester Blue was strong and robust flavours, serve with charcoal biscuits, pair with onions, rhubarb or a mallet. Helen then went trundling off to Susan in an exchange that contained the immortally Miss Babs line, "Gosh, Susan, your post office know-how is going to be vital." I'm already sick of these cheese boxes or cheese parcels or whatever they're called. At least Bridge Farm appears to be doing some sort of rudimentary research this time. Their normal practice would be to take orders, box them up, then sit them all on the counter in the dairy and wonder how they were actually going to be spirited away to appear on people's doorsteps. Of course, it is also typical that they are concentrating on the post and packing rather than the more tricksy issue of the sodding great herd of buffalo. Details, details. Pat masterfully overcame her clear hatred of Natasha's mother when Natasha mentioned she was coming to stay. "Another woman, mother. Kill, kill, kill," said Pat reasonably. Tom was slightly worried about it as he thought Pat might be a bit left out. Okay, Natasha's mother lives in Wales. Tom's mother lives a quarter of a mile away. Who does he think might be feeling left out in this equation? Write on one side of the paper only. Oliver tried to work his way back into the village's good books by sponsoring the fete, including Clara the Combine. Surely to goodness, children brought up in Ambridge would have about as much interest in a combine as they would in a duck. It sounds like a riot already, to be honest, his fate. Will Grundy's pottery, the militant wing of the WI taking pot shots with an air gun at the pizza van. "We could have the fate we always dreamed of," said Susan. "We could send Kenton away somewhere with his megaphone rammed up his arse." Anyway, Linda, who had taken it upon herself to speak on behalf of the entire committee, told Oliver to stick his bribe until Will Grundy, the persuader, talked to her and changed her mind, but only after he'd forced her to admire the 63 pottery willies he'd made in class. Steph told a heartwarming story designed to get Daddy back on side about how he once ate some fish. I tell you what, I am so glad I am not a Casey. Not least because if I was another sister, I'd have to pick a third accent. But also because when they do tough love, they really do it. Steph eventually confessed after clinging onto her story with all the tenacity of Boris Johnson hanging onto the piano at 10 Downing Street while removal men carry it out. And Vince had the realisation that he had nurtured a 30-year-old Violet Elizabeth Bott in his bosom for 30 years. But instead of getting her any help, just said, "Right, love, you're on your own." She has no skills to live. It's like releasing a budgie that's lived in a cage in Solihull into the Amazon rainforest and saying, "Go on then, crack on." All she's been trained to do is switch her voice into a higher register whenever there's a male around, put clothes on, take clothes off, and take selfies. I'm not sure she knows her phone camera also works the other way around. Now, I know everyone is going to hate me saying this, but honestly, Tracy, yes, I also know Gemma is a total cowbag and we know not why yet, but no doubt we'll find out. Maybe it is spending your entire life in minus 15 degrees looking at a load of chickens' bottoms sailing past you on a rubber mat. But Tracy, you don't start pointing out everything that is wrong with an organisation on your first day. You just don't. And Tracy's got enough emotional intelligence to realise that too. This is presumably for plotical reasons, but I hope they get on with it, as even though she was a nobber, I do not like Tracy being quietly saint-like and stoic. I prefer it when she shouts and throws things. Yeah. So hopefully Gemma will find herself with a fistful of chicken giblets next week. I said giblets then, and I meant giblets. Anyway, never mind. Slightly odd, isn't it, that Ben and Beth... Nope, that just still sounds daft. I'm going to call them B&B. That B&B didn't sound very happy after their reconciliation. Apart from the rather clicky kiss, they both sounded miserable rather than all giddy and delirious. Better than the alternative, though, I suppose, which is them both being hysterical and Ben asking her to marry him at the heat of the moment, which I thought might be on the cards.
Oh, God.
Still, if they are setting them up to be the next David and Ruth, then that would fit. Not a lot of euphoric romance there, just permanent grudging misery, which they are both entirely happy with, thank you very much. But it seems a shame that B&B, at their tender ages, can't have a bit of fun, an actual, you know, silliness, before settling straight into, is it life awful? Oh, well, let's have a cup of tea. Maybe they could fly away on holiday somewhere, then they'd be Airbnb.
Yeah,
now, script writers, we need to have a little chat about women's bodies, okay? I'm not going to get all Susie Orbach on your arse, but here's the thing. Chelsea's about 17, right? Denise and Shula are early 50s, thus making them pretty much comparable with me and my daughter. My daughter wears things, whole dresses, that are smaller than one of the sleeves of mine. Now, I know the chips have settled in my case, and for all I know, Denise may be a wiry marathon runner vegan, although we know that Shula is not. But what fits and looks good on a 17-year-old will not fit or look good on a normal 50-year-old. End of mate, as Chelsea would say. Your body at 50 is like something emerging warily from the jungles of Vietnam. It's seen some shit. Everything's moved, generally down and out, and that's fine because you know it's been there for you, got you where you wanted to go, and everything that's happened to it has been life experience. But you're still not getting into a 17-year-old's dress. And by the way, if you are a 50-year-old woman who's just experienced a little thrill of superior excitement at the prospect of emailing me and telling me that actually you share dresses with your 17-year-old daughter and your body hasn't changed in 30 years, then take a long, hard look at yourself and go and read a book. Big up the sisterhood. The end.
Yeah, because I was thinking that as well.
Yeah,
I was thinking, Alice, the person who sprung to mind to get a dress off was Shula.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, Chelsea's there. And so unless Chelsea has the body of a 50-year-old,
yeah.
but when you consider she's the one wearing short skirts at Lower
yes.
Loxley,
yes.
You sort of picture her
yes.
being
yes.
looking like a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because it was so pretty woman, Lucy, and
I
romantic.
Know.
And just and
old Alistair, he just didn't know what to do with himself, did
wow.
he?
Wow. Oh yeah, and Duma is an odd choice of well, I think they just they nicked Fabrice's song, didn't they? But I thought that was an odd choice of backing music for her to enter into.
Yes,
I thought
it's all about being dumped and picking yourself up again.
Yeah,
and
I thought it should
happened.
Could have been more swoony, so
yes.
that then Alistair would have done. I thought you know his sort of, but because I quite like all that pretty woman stuff, and I think it's I'm really happy that Denise has got her you know. Shining light now. But yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it? It's a bit like, you know, when you write, I don't know, like when your friends were over, when I was little and friends came around and we just write a film quickly
yes.
and then record it quickly.
Yeah.
And you just have those hurried decisions, but you don't
yeah.
really think about the...
Yeah.
Well, I suppose
let's just make her a policewoman. Yeah. That's why she's
okay.
a policewoman. Okay.
Put the diamonds on the dress and
yeah.
then she'll be like massive transformation. Yeah. But how do you transform just by one dress as well? I mean, unless it was so tiny that Denise's boobs were
hanging out.
And you could, you know, when she bent over...
Well,
you...
I suppose Vet's outfits... Vet's,
I think they're quite... I thought Alistair was sort of going to go, actually, love, put the uniform on.
Well, I find scrubs really attractive.
Yes, because they're professional and
they're
sexy.
Professional.
It means
and they
you
make
do
you
things
look
with
like
your hands.
You know what you're, yes, exactly.
Exactly.
You look like you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Yes.
But some like cheap charity shop dress.
Yeah.
Made of polyester with fake diamonds. No. Especially if it's that sort of stretchy material. And however good your body is, I mean, when it's sort of stretchy like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think scrubs would have been
yeah.
better, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Was it? Wasn't
yeah.
it fuchsia pink?
Yeah.
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 I mean, a sort of, yeah. If it's not Stella McCartney, love, it's, I'm just not going to, I don't buy it. Well, I don't buy it anyway. I don't buy Stella McCartney, obviously.
But what that's why about? Teenagers can wear clothes.
Polyester. That they can
wear
it.
Artificial yeah. fibres and clothes, yes. that, dresses that cost £6.50.
Yeah. They can
and
shop in
Boohoo.
And you
wash them once and the sleeves fall off.
And they shouldn't, because those yes, garments are being thing. Made yeah. by people in yeah. the chicken factory.
Yeah.
But they but they do, and yeah. they look good in them.
Yeah. And that's because they are slinky malinky. And just, they've got no ins and outs, and, you know, and youth is just beauty, isn't it? It just yeah. is.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter what sort of shape or size you are when you're young. Mm. You're beautiful because you radiate youth, and that's yes. what's attractive, and you'll never get it back. And if only the kids knew that.
I know.
If only they could look back at those photos where they yeah. thought they looked shit, and they looked so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because they were glowing.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatevs. No, she obviously looks knockout. What did Chelsea say? Corking. No, yeah. what did she say? Smoking.
I loved it when she keeps calling everyone mate, when she calls Alistair bait. Oh, right,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Chelsea being this sort of caricature, funny old say. Also, the fact that she was like, yeah, you can have that dress, £50. Yeah. I was like, good, let's keep Chelsea. She is a bit tropey, but let's keep her.
And they're not doing that saint thing with her either. To, you know, like they did with Stella, you know, where
no,
everything
well, exactly.
she does is wise and sensible.
No, no, but that's the thing.
Else.
That's why that's she saved herself when yes. she asked for 50
yes,
quid.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
20. Ted, done. I thought they were a good trio, those
Best
three.
Best designer, that is. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
And I think it's a sweet love story between, and I love the fact that the love story has sort of seeded itself with, because you know when there was the rip
yeah.
in the zip, yeah. I was like, oh my god, we're literally, because I thought, okay, this is a Roy situation, an Ardil
yeah.
situation,
yeah.
the zip's broken, he's going to mend it, and Jakob's going to walk in, and there's going to be this awkward love triangle, but no, it wasn't an exact copy and paste, thank god. yeah, no, I enjoyed that. I thought it was a really good week this week.
It was. It was
because it was a
Pat
bit...
was driving me mad.
Oh my
though.
God. Oh my god, they are so, and all of those people are so unlikable.
Mm.
So I was thinking about them, thinking, you know, Pat's awful. Natasha's, they're all so self-obsessed and
yeah.
dreadful.
Yeah.
But then actually, I know families like that, you know, like mm. especially in the village where I grew up, there were quite a lot of sort of not power hungry but
smug
mm. yeah, and because they'd been there for generations,
yeah,
it's sort of like they own the world,
yeah,
and so they can say whatever, do whatever. I mean, because Natasha is well, Thomas married his mother, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. yeah
they are.
There's this attitude that, I know you like Helen and you say
yeah,
she's got a bit of funniness to her, but the only thing that Helen has this such a patronising,
oh
condescending.
Yeah. Susan, wow.
So basically,
his knowledge.
Anybody that knows something that Helen doesn't know, she just makes them feel slightly shitty for knowing it.
Well, she's like, there's no way I would know about, because I'm too busy making
yes.
artisan cheese and
yeah.
being a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I'll ask someone, like, I'll ask my servant
yes.
how to post a yeah. package.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it...
Awful,
yeah.
Awful.
But
humor.
Also, as you said... Isn't that literally the least of your problems? It shouldn't you
yes.
first be working out whether you have a market?
Whether you have a market.
Where are you going to put the buffaloes?
Can you actually afford to do this? The investment in doing it?
How horny are they? Do they hurt you if they butt you, etc.? That's what I'd
been
be thinking.
Killed.
Have they?
Yeah.
What, by a buffalo?
Yeah.
On a farm?
Yeah.
Because they're massive. There was actually a buffalo farm in my village where I grew up. And actually, when the buffalo arrived, there was huge excitement because it was quite early on. Like, you know, no one in England had ever
yeah.
bought a mozzarella before. But But so they, it was quite exciting. But they're mad. They don't. They look completely out of place. Yeah. They look nothing like freesias.
Freesias.
They would. Freesia cows.
Freesians. Freesias are flowers. They definitely don't look anything like freesias. No.
I swear, I grew up in a village with Frisian. I've always said Frisians. Frisians.
Oh, Frisians.
Oh my God.
You said Frisians.
Right. I always said Frisians. Oh, no wonder I got some odd looks. Oh, Frisians. Frisians. Oh, okay.
I'm
that sounds like someone from space. A Frisian. I have entered village.
It's from the Frisian Islands.
What? What's that? Oh. I don't know what that is. Anyway, perhaps, yeah.
What Rufus bought you this time?
A coffee.
Oh, nice.
That's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Thanks,
so
Rufus.
Just for everybody listening, this is the morning after, isn't it, Lucy? Usually we record
yes.
in of an evening.
Yes.
But today is the morning after. I had a great night last night.
What did you do?
Yeah, it was so fun. Because my daughter's in her last year of primary, our class went out for end of school drinks.
Right.
And it was brilliant. And we sort of took over a pub and there was one man and his guitar, but we started dancing and so he really upped his game and he was like, oh, what a night. The sort of acoustic version. And I got a feeling, but strumming.
Right.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And then one of my friends managed to get the barman to do a disco for us. It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, dancing all night. My feet are so tired. We danced from like 8:30 to midnight.
That.
Oh, it was so brilliant. And, you know, because we've been together for these last 6 years, all of us, it was really, really... move. There was a lot of tears. I mean, not for me because I never cry at that shit. But
no.
I've got so many other children in the school. It's not really a big deal for me.
You'll still be there till you're 142, won't you?
One of them hasn't even started the school yet. I'm there for the...
You'll get the long service medal.
It'll be me on my own in that pub in 10 years from now. Guy, anyone? Just me celebrating. Okay. They'll all be having a brilliant life because their kids will be grown up and they'll be on holiday without children. Anyway, no, it's great.
Good.
No, my point was...
Wobbly, are you?
A bit wobbly. Okay. My point was, yes, as you said, Buffalo is a... it's not like getting some Montebellier's, presumably.
From
the island, of Montbéliard. The mountain of Belliard, where you get those cows. These are buffalo, baby, that should live in America.
Okay, I'm staging an intervention. There's no way you grew up in a village. You grew up in Highgate.
I didn't.
Did you pay any attention to anything that was happening outside of dance class?
Well, famously, when I was 14 at secondary, I did ask my friend who lived on a farm if male cows had udders.
Oh my God.
I know. I know. But maybe I was 13. But I think it's because when you grow up with that all around you, you don't question anything. You just accept it. But I didn't, no one had ever told me that. I know. And I knew about sex. So I don't know why I thought they had udders. I just didn't really think about it. I was thinking about other things. Mm. I knew I wasn't going to stay in the village.
No. They wouldn't let you stay in the village.
No, basically they wouldn't. They wouldn't. No, there was Frisians and loads of pigs.
Frisias, pigs and Mount Belly Bottoms or whatever it was.
And no male udders. Well, quite a lot actually because there was a lot of big boys around.
Big boys.
Bit of an obesity problem. anyway, so that was my point. Sorry for a long-winded... what a night, I got a feeling, ooh yeah. And then, din, 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 da, 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 leaves you feeling down. That was just for me, that one. Everyone else stopped dancing at that one.
What was it? Did you just do a solo?
I will
was it like
be
dirty dancing?
There for you when it seems. S Club, all your hopes and dreams are a million miles. Yeah, everyone was like, can we go back to that man and his guitar? We got to all stick together.
Harriet,
come on, guys.
Down. Can you imagine?
It was basically just like, oh fuck, thank God we're all leaving. Luckily, our kids are all going to the same school, so there'll be plenty more.
You're still going to be there.
Yeah, we're still going. Oh, we'll still be there doing S Club. Reach for the stars. Come on, guys. Just me. Okay. It's basically,
anyway,
yeah.
We were talking about Pat being annoying.
Pat being... I know. When I was talking about families that are really annoying and I knew some. I mean, really annoying. When I went to drama school and came back to my village after drama school, I saw a friend of mine down there and I went, hi, blah, 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 blah. And I was chatting to him and then he went, why are you shouting at me?
Because this is my London voice. This is how I talk.
Guys, I like, I've like been to drama school, everything. Let's have a dance. Yeah, I think I alienated a few people. Anyway, sorry. Oh, it's all about me. Sorry again.
I think that what struck me this week is how isolated the Bridge Farm lot are. Isolated from reality, isolated from business, and isolated from the rest of the village. They hardly ever... The most Pat does is go and see Peggy Woolley.
Well, that's what it felt like. That's what I mean when I said, you know, like it's like the world revolves around them and no one else. Mm. And I think that could... Maybe that does happen on some farms because, I mean, you are sort of... I mean, you're so invested in your own land and family, aren't you, that I suppose there's not much time to...
And I understand that, but it's the... David and Ruth never patronised Bert.
No, exactly. And... But Helen doesn't mean to... I don't know whether... So I don't know whether... Because I really like... I like Helen because I think her character is really strong. And so when she patronises Susan, you wonder whether the writing...
Is she trying to be funny and it's not working?
No, because I think she's always so true to character. Like, she does it in a way that's not obvious, but to us listening at home, we're like, she's such a patronising bitch.
Yeah.
But it's like, in a way, that's the thing, that's what people do, isn't it? You know, that you have those friends and you know they're not meaning to be patronising, but they literally can't get it out of their mouth without it sounding...
So it's like she's trying to sound wry or something, but
no,
the
I think
way it's
when
coming
she was,
across is...
Yeah, I think when just, she was saying, goodness, Susan, you know a lot about post offices.
You're boring, aren't you? Goodness,
yeah,
you
and
know.
I think she was trying to be bantery, but she can't... But she just can't
do it.
Because there's too much of a barrier between her and Susan. Do you know what I was thinking?
What?
Special delivery, Susan. She is on her way.
Well,
do you
I
remember
was
that?
Thinking... What the hell, can Tracy not leave the horrible chicken
and be DPD?
And do and go and deliver cheese.
Hermes. Mm. Yeah, cheese seller.
Yeah. Herm cheese.
Herm cheese. I don't think Hermes exists anymore, actually. I think it's someone else now. Oh. Someone took over it. Because, you know, when you get you never know if they're fake, do you?
No.
I'm constantly being texted by real Royal Mail.
Yes.
Or fake Royal Mail.
Mm.
Or fake... R.I.P. Hermes or fake DPD.
I'll give you a tip, right?
Oh, yeah.
If it starts with the words, hello, dear, it's not real.
Hello, dear.
I love those.
Hello,
I love spamming.
Susan here. Follow my link and you'll get your mozzarella in
no
time.
Is submit your national insurance number, your savings account, and your password.
Terms and conditions apply. Salmonella may have mozzarella. Rilla. Salmonella may be... Packaging may be contaminated. While stock supply.
And also, I lost my bracelet this week, so have a look. If it's in there, let me know. Thank you.
How's she going to deliver Combine Clara, eh? You can't put that
Who
in a postbox.
Who cares?
No, I thought that was good. The kids will die for Combine Clara.
But loads of kids have been on combines if you live in the country.
I didn't. I lived in the country. I've never been on a combine.
We've already established that you didn't live in the country. You lived in Highgate. Stop trying to pretend it was the country.
I only went on a tractor when we went carol singing. Carol singing on a trailer.
Okay.
Yep. I promise you, it's not a dream. It's all true. No, I thought that was great. I think they'll love, because it's like, you know, the Tank Museum in Dorset or whatever. It's like one of the most popular museums for kids and popular days out for kids in the country.
But they're very tedious, Cumber. I mean, you're very, very
high
up.
They are for me and you, Lucy. But for a three-year-old, they're Bob, mummy. Yes, darling. Don't get too near those spooky bits. Yeah. Or that child. Martha's going to love Clara. There'll be some awful Alice, Chris, Martha kissy-wissy bit with Combine Clara. And
talking
Alice
of
and
kissy
Chris.
Wissy, did you see what? Did you agree with what I meant about them, Beth and Ben?
Yes.
A, what? The kiss was clicky, but B, they just sound miserable as sin.
What is? It was like Ben, Beth. I do not give a shit. They're teenagers.
Yes.
They're gonna split up. They're gonna get back together. Yeah. Someone's gonna go off with. So boring. But it's like the way that they would. I mean, of course, it's super serious for them. It's life and death, isn't it, when you're that age? But it was all the earnestness.
Yes. As if they were committing to each other for life.
Why was Josh then going, no, you can't come and see my brother. But I was like, hang on a minute. Whoa.
Yeah.
A minute ago, she thought your brother had kissed her sister. That is a massive deal. And I would have needed to take some space.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to hear from him. So, also, Josh, what's it got to do with you, you loser? You were the one that trying to get off with Beth originally. If you hurt my brother, it's like, oh my God, how old are you, dickheads? Are you, I found it a bit weird.
My daughter marching into the kitchen last night and giving me a blow-by-blow account, literally, of everything that had happened on Love Island. And I don't care at all. I don't know who any of the people are, but I know that they're only 20 or something and they're having a lovely time. And it's all about, and then she said this to him and then he went up to her and then... And I was thinking, this means absolutely bugger all to me, but she's very happy and it's like watching insects under a microscope, they're doing things. And it's fine.
But it's what makes life exciting.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I know, obviously it's awful, isn't it? And when you watch Love Island, it's awful when one of the good couples splits up, because obviously they throw them into Casa Amore and they did make, you know, they, it's telly,
do
they
you
make it deliberately.
Watch it?
No, this is the only series I haven't watched. Because Jen, it's really good. It is really good. I just haven't had time. I haven't been able to invest this time, because like you really do need to invest in it, Lucy. You need to put all those, you need to basically schedule for the hours it takes out of your life.
Okay.
And I just haven't had time. But it's great. It's great because it's, but that's what makes life exciting, isn't it? Drama, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so do you think maybe this was a nod to Love Island, the Ben and Beth? Because in a way, it wasn't quite dramatic enough, if it was. Because I think what would have been more interesting is if we weren't sure whether Ben had put his hand up her skirt or not, or you know, at least stuck his tongue in.
Yeah.
Because if someone kisses you, of course, I guess your first reaction is to recoil if they're not your partner. But if you're turned on a little bit, you might have. So I thought it was a shame it wasn't a bit less black and white, actually.
Yes.
They're too good to be true, aren't they, Beth and Ben? And so it doesn't make them particularly
likeable. They're too good to be true,
likeable.
And also they don't sound like they have any fun.
No, she was miserable as fuck. And they was like, okay, so shall we... Oh, no, you're not going to get back together with me, but shall we give it a go?
Yeah. And
okay.
And he was like, oh, all right then. I love you. Yeah, pickle, I love you as well.
Go, I love you,
on.
Ben
all
Archer. Right.
Yeah.
Sound like it then. But then they might have had sex on the radio, Lucy. Oh my God. And it's fine on Love Island because they're under a duvet, but
it is not fine on Love Island.
It is, you can't see anything. It's like, it's worse on the radio because you'd be picturing it in your head.
You could do a good Beth, so can I write something for Beth now?
Okay. I can't really do a good Beth, but you're right, she does sound different to her sister, doesn't she?
Yeah.
They're not.
Not just the peach where she's all up here.
Also, Steph sometimes becomes quite posh, doesn't she?
Yes.
Sometimes she slightly loses her accent, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because that's the nature of having an accent. It changes anyway, doesn't it?
But I do think that what they've done to poor old Steph is a bit brutal, really. Having moaned about her for ages, just going, right, you're on your own. No more money. That's it. Get a job.
Yeah.
She's trained for nothing. She can't look after herself. She's an idiot.
I know people really didn't like the Casey storylines as well, because it is quite Hollyoaks. But I feel like if they were going to commit to it, really go for it. And so maybe it could have become a bit more explosive. You know, as in a bit like Steph owning up was boring.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know that that's...
They could have done it like where she suddenly snapped and
a
said,
twist.
Yes, I did. I went for him. He wasn't interested, but I didn't care because I was really angry with you and I've always been jealous of you and blah, blah, blah. And instead we got all this, don't hate me, Biffy. I didn't mean it.
That she was like, okay, I'm going to confess. And then I did kiss him. He did pull away, but I wasn't the one that put his finger up, you know, and... And then we would never have known, would we? And then she storms off to go and hook up with Ardil, piss Kirsty off. I like Steph.
Do you think she's coming back? Do you think she's going to be around for
Well, I hope that because I know she's not loved at university. Also, if she's a successful influencer, she doesn't seem to be doing much of it.
No.
Unlike us, Lucy. Still waiting for the door to ring.
Yeah, I know.
Gone are our glory days. Mind you, we've still got a lot to
glory
a
day.
Lot to mention.
It was just one. We just had one day where everything arrived all in one go. We were clambering in and out of our front doors like we lived in the Amazon warehouse. And then nothing.
We've still got lots of things to talk about. We just haven't arranged to talk about them yet.
No.
But lots of lovely things, gorgeous things. Yes. I think she's gone now for a while.
Good. Well, I hope she comes back as someone else because she was very, very annoying.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Also, Linda got on my wick because she's so presumptuous, just taking over and deciding that the fate can do without
Oliver's
money.
I mean, honestly, guys, it's a business. I know it was all handled awkwardly, but if something has to shut down because it's not making money, what can one do?
Also, I could swear that Roy knew that Oliver had used his own money to prop up the business.
Roy did know that, didn't he?
So why did Linda not know? And why did Roy not tell Linda?
Why wouldn't have that been? That should have been communicated. Well, maybe people weren't.
Because Kirsty would have known that. If Roy knew it, Kirsty would have known. And Kirsty was trying to persuade Linda to stop being mean to Oliver and Ardil. So she would have said something. You know, it's just a big... Yeah. That was a big gap. I didn't like that.
Okay. But it's fine because we got to hear about Will's pottery and that was a genius thing to listen to. That was brilliant. Whoever came up with Will becoming a potter, top of the class.
Like loads of psychotic pottery, just sort of think people, hanging people and people with guns and, you know, little pottery daggers. And
no, I think you're right. They probably look like penises, but they're not supposed to, are they? Because I really enjoyed all
that. What did Oliver say? You have to look at them for longer and then it's like clouds. If you look at it for long enough, it sort of looks vaguely like something.
So. Just blur your eye yeah. a bit, and it'll look like what Will tells you it's supposed to
take
be.
Take a step back. A couple more steps.
A teapot? Yeah. A teapot? Oh, that's the handle. Okay.
Oh, it's a dog. Yes, oh, I can see that. Now you've said
seven this. Legs. No, sorry, that's the tail. Of course it is. I'm really excited about Will's pottery throwdown career. I think this is going to be good. This is a great
it's
direction
so average
for Will
as well.
Grundy.
It's so average yeah. that he does three classes and thinks he can sell it.
I reckon, though, it's going to be one of those things where it's the Emperor's New Clothes. So when people see it, he's going to be successful at the fair.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think people are going to be like, oh, this is Ardil's going to buy it all up for a special exhibition at Grey Gables. Wow, Will Grundy, I really like what you're doing here.
You have made things out of clay, and that is interesting. How long have you been making things out of clay?
Well, Ardil. I like the pottery. It's good.
Ah!
Oh, yes?
No, you go first, because you did an ooh, which beats an R.
No, as in we mustn't forget to talk about Tracy.
Yes, let us do that now. Yes. Because not like this Gemma thing.
Well, back
I wish
to the
stop, please.
Back to the beginning, what you said, there is no way she would have no. even it so and then when she was telling Jim and Jazza about the fact that she went and had all you Jim would have said,
yeah.
Oh, Tracy, maybe just because it's your first day,
yeah.
maybe leave off the enthusiasm a bit.
Yeah.
You're not running a FTSE 100 company.
But her emotional intelligence is good, Tracy's. And she would not have just steamed in. And I know she's trying to prove that she's management material because she thinks that she's worth more than the chicken factory. But she would still know not to go in like that. She would still know enough to just...
Although you could blame it on, when you get overenthusiastic, like I do, and you say too much and... You just can't help it because you're sort of in your
yeah
you're,
no I do too
get
I know
carried
exactly
away
yeah
but you're right but then yes anyway so yes there was that which was a bit annoying but I think it set up a really interesting compelling storyline.
Why do you think Gemma is being horrid to her?
Well, first of all, it was clearly because that's the thing, on the first day Gemma did seem genuinely nice, didn't she? But I assume it's because she felt undermined when she started.
Yeah, and then Tracy was talking about at the hotel. So maybe she feels a bit jealous of her or something.
Yes, exactly. Because Gemma, according to Susan, was... Well, there's some history. But I think it's probably going to turn out that Gemma was a bitch to Emma and Emma. Or do you think it's that Gemma was bullied and now Gemma's become the bully? I don't know, but I thought it was really... I actually felt like it needed one of those... if you've been affected by any of these issues at work, work stoppers. Because I have been not in a similar situation. I've never been at a chicken factory, but when I was deep fat frying in a pub in Edinburgh for a long time, when I really wanted to be doing a show, I had a really horrible bullying boss. But when you're sort of grateful to be there, and then you feel, and then it gets worse because then you start feeling intimidated.
Yep.
And you sort of really go into yourself. And it's horrible. And then you're trapped in this awful situation. And it's so lonely, isn't it? And you can't tell anyone because your pride is going, but I know I'm better than this. And I know.
Yeah.
And, you're sort of going, it's really horrible.
I think you can. I had a particular boss that I found extremely difficult. And I realised that in every conversation with her, I would end up going, oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean that. She would, and then I realised that I didn't, and I just kept thinking, well, it's me, Lucy, you just keep putting your foot in it. You just keep saying things that, because I she made me feel nervous. So I was thinking, right, okay, and then I realised that that wasn't happening with anyone else. I'd never had to apologise. Like three times in one conversation for a misunderstanding ever with anyone. And I realised she was deliberately misunderstanding me to put me on the wrong foot.
Oh.
So that everything I said, she'd go, I see. Oh, so you think that? And I'd go, oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Well, that's exactly what's happening with Gemma and Tracy, isn't it?
And it took me ages to realise this is not me. This is not me. This is her. I don't know what is going on here, but, you know, I know it's not me. And it was someone else saying to me, but because I was talking to my friend about it, and she said, you don't do that. And I said, you know, she brings out the worst in me and I keep putting my foot in it. And she said, but you don't do that with anyone else. Why would... She said, she's doing this. It's not you.
Yeah.
And but I think we're sort of trained, we're sort of hardwired to think, oh, it's us. We'd, you know, my natural idiot out and I must control it. You know?
No, but also if it's a boss, it's the relationship, isn't it? Because if someone is your boss, you're just trying to do your best to please them and not get in trouble and keep your job.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to cry when she asked Tracy to come in and do that. I really couldn't bear it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because we've all been there and you just can't say no. Yeah. Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah.
But what's so awful is Tracy just doesn't have a choice in the matter because she really needs that fucking shit job.
Yeah.
And...
But it was nice that Chelsea said, you know, no, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But then... So that's why Tracy will have to put up with it when she. But also that's the thing; it's a dent in her pride, isn't it? She won't ever be able to tell anyone. But I wonder if maybe Emma did have the same experience and lied about Gemma, or I thought it was really interesting that the chicken factory, which was a myth, you know, it was sort of like
it was like hell. It was like limbo or something. It was.
And like now we get a real insight.
The village bogeyman, you know, if you do that again, you'll go to the chicken factory. No, mummy, not the
one day more. Another head, another beak, another pair of legs. I cannot pluck anymore. I am dead on my feet. But it was a bit sort of Les Mis, wasn't it?
Yeah. The
whole awfulness of
frostbite
it.
Frostbite and everything.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I really liked. I love it when the Archers goes into new territory.
Yes.
And we get new characters and...
That's what I was thinking. We're getting heavily emotionally invested in Gemma and Tracy. So if Tracy then sleeps through her alarm and misses her shift at the chicken factory and leaves, why have I spent all this time worrying about Gemma?
Because I think they're going to really go for this storyline and ultimately it'll end up with Tracy being manager or something.
Yeah.
I think there has to be a happy outcome.
Well, do you know what, though? I do hope she does this butchery course because Britain is very, very short of butchers.
Is that right?
Yes.
I thought no one went to the butcher anymore because we've got supermarkets.
Well, you should go to the butcher because they're much better than
supermarkets. Oh, my God. Lucy, have you seen the prices in the Ginger Pig near where I live?
Yeah, that's not a butcher. That's a theme park. Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
£4 for a Scotch egg. You're having a laugh.
Genuinely is £4.
I know.
For a Scotch egg.
I know.
And they are really nice, and they're basically...
Do you know, people listening to this outside London are rolling on the floor laughing that people would even contemplate paying £4 for a Scotch egg.
I would go to the local butcher because I'm sure the...
I go to mine and he's brilliant and he's cheaper than the supermarket.
Right, okay. So that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I suppose the quality of meat from the Ginger Pig is very superior, which is why they... charge the prices, but when it's cooked, you can't really. When you're making spaghetti bolognese, you can't really taste the difference.
No, and yes, it does depend what you're cooking, but also, you know, it's whether or not it's worth that price is debatable. The fact is, people will pay that price.
Yeah, okay, and also it's a lovely butcher's. It looks really nice, especially at Christmas time when everyone does go.
Yeah,
but also I would have thought, but that's interesting about, but. I don't know. I think if I was looking at my future career and I'm looking at the way we're eating less meat and stuff, do you think butchery is a
Some people
ideal?
Are never going to eat less meat, but if you can persuade people to eat it less often but better quality, then that's the best you're going to get.
Okay, so butchers could be the future.
But it's just interesting because they're talking about there's this new abattoir thingy. They are running short of butchers. There's Barrow.
Is this in the Archers? Is this real?
All of it.
Okay.
Both. And I think there's going to be some huge sort of, you know, like Home Farm used to employ millions of people and now it's all disappeared. And now everyone's forgotten. They've got a fishing lake. They've forgotten about the deer, everything. You know, everything's just, the fish are running along with the deer. It's all gone to pot. So I think there's going to be some huge kind of micro industry when moving it into Home Farm, and they're going to end up moving it into Barrow. So there's going to be like on-site butchery and abattoir and everything
all in one place. Oh, and then Tracy and Jazzy could work together.
Exactly. And it will employ Tracy. And it will employ,
Okay. Yes. This is a great idea. Yeah, I'm totally on board.
Okay. We'll do that then.
Let's do that.
Okay. I've got a surprise for you. I've got Catherine Rowan Jones.
Oh,
I've actually remembered.
You've actually
to put
got
her thing
her.
In. I've actually done it properly. Right. So Catherine said, I can't remember if I said this last week or not. She sent us an email because Catherine used to, she took a long time to ring into Dumpty Dum because she was always worried about her voice. Because she said she'd had decades of voice criticism.
Oh,
which
God.
Is mean and rotten and stinky. And I hope whoever did it goes.
Has a good look at themselves, Gemma.
Yes. Yes, Gemma. She said, I am still surprised that some wish to hear it, while grateful that Lucy encouraged me to own it. Because I said she had a fabulous voice, and she has. So, right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Hello, Harriet. Be careful what you wish for, otherwise you might hear from me. It's Catherine Rowan Jones calling in from High Wycombe, as requested by a couple of people. This is what I sound like. Thank you for your wonderful voices. Thank you, Lucy, for her amazing writing and humour. Thank you, Mr. Newby, for all that you do as your contribution. A merci mille fois à Fabrice. Mignon! It's Wednesday evening. It's after 7. I've just been listening. I am sick to fucking death. Of Montagues versus Capulets, Kramer versus Kramer, and above all, interfering grandparents. Chris, I think, was absolutely honest with Sam, the social worker. I think it's the first time we've heard that honestly and directly from him about how he feels. Kirsty and Ardile. Claxon, they're being set up for a love interest. Dressed and relaxed Ardile with his farming nanny obviously gets Kirsty's rewilded leg hair in all of a pother. Not that there's anything wrong with leg hair, I have plenty of my own. She was definitely flustered, which isn't the Kirsty I was expecting. Thanks again for all that you do. You're my favourite podcast and I love you loads. Cheery bye. Jones out.
Bye.
Jones out. You've been listening to Late Night Junction on Radio 3. And now for a bit of smooth jazz. Catherine, get yourself to Global Radio for the evening slots. It's a gorgeous voice.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to have that breathiness and the lower pitch. But she's a great singer.
When she gets cross, she's... It sort of comes out a bit more forcefully and quite scary, and then it goes back to all soothing again.
Fucking Montagues and bloody Capulets! Anyway, that's all from me, signing off. Jonesy, over and out.
It's sort of like...
Fucking Archers!
It's Joanna Lumley with a chainsaw, I think that's basically.
That's what she needs on her website. Oh, fantastic! So thank you
Catherine.
For sending... It's a gorgeous, gorgeous. It's too unique to impersonate because it's just lovely. Yeah, flaunt it. If you've got it, flaunt it.
Absolutely.
People would kill to have that voice. Mm. It's a proper, sexy, late night, fags and red wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of genre.
Yes.
Did you know the Archers was in the Daily Mail last week?
Oh, what for?
I don't know if it was last week or the week before, for forgetting Linda's birthday wrong. Was it this week or last week when Tom... Oh, I know, it was this week when Tom said he's popped some new bits of veg in his box.
Oh, it was her birthday, yeah.
It was her birthday, but actually the fans went crazy. It was Lillian's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't... They got the date wrong, and actually the date was Lillian's 75th birthday.
Oh, that's
yep.
not good.
Indeed. I mean, honestly, who are these writers? Anyway, so the...
Well, you took the veg box, Linda. You took the freebies.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I won't be sending them over to Lillian.
I can't imagine that Lillian is gleeful about her birthday either. Anyway,
I don't think Lillian would want a veg box for her birthday.
She wouldn't
either.
Want a veg box. She'd want a box of wine.
Where's the gin, darling? I literally can't see it.
She wouldn't want anyone to know she was another year older either.
So someone clever discovered it. Oh, that wonderful tweeter. Can't remember his name. But anyway, he discovered it, and then people quite rightly didn't go crazy, obviously.
Because there was nothing else going on this week
But
the Daily Mail decided to do a thing about it.
Yeah. Run it! Hot off the press. Yes, fans go wild.
Focus very strongly on what's happening politically. So let's have a pop at the bloody arches.
Breaking news. Yeah. Linda resigns over birthday faux pas.
But says she's not leaving until October.
She's got a few more episodes in her.
Yes.
But that's quite funny, isn't it? I love it when the Archers makes the national press.
And everyone that doesn't listen goes, what the hell is this all about? Who are these people? Emails.
Oh my gosh.
Right. This is from Neil Gagan, who has just become our latest Patreon. Mwah!
Oh, thanks Neil. That's because you've promised him a sojourn round your studio.
Did I? Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
We're vamping them up.
Yes, you should see what I've done to mine. In fact, will see what I've done to
Lucy
mine.
Lucy sent me a picture of what she'd done to hers.
It's very high tech.
She said she'd made a studio. She don't put more sound. I mean, guys, you can probably hear the incredible difference in sound quality in Lucy's before recording.
So I'm
It's much damper.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's because I'm using the really insulation from a down. Fish box.
All she's done is put her cat bed, no, the dog bed, on top of her laptop.
I haven't. I've done much more than that.
No, sorry. You have propped a bit of foam on top of the
I've dog. Got a cushion and a stuffed hippo under my laptop. And then I've got the inside...
But that's nothing to do with this insulation, is it?
That's just a thing. That's my idea of interior design. And then I've got the insides of two outside sofa cushions either side, and the insulation from the fish box and the dog bed insert.
I think when you're doing this sort of walk around the studio, put Cooper on the dog bed. Otherwise, there's not much to look at.
No. When you say walk around the studio...
I thought we were doing some sort of... No, we're doing the live...
Just turning cameras on and recording. That's all we're doing.
Okay.
Don't make it more complicated or it make me cry. Okay. I'm already worried enough about it.
She's had a bad week already.
I've had a bad week. Okay, Neil Gagan. Hi, ladies and gent. Hope everyone has finally recovered from Harriet's week going solo. Blimey, they're not letting this go, are they, Harriet? What's with all the last century movie references at the moment in The Archers? We've got Aldi wandering around the village like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America with childlike awe at everything. There's Will channeling his inner Demi Moore at the pottery wheel with Nick Spector peering over his shoulder at his wonky tagine. Sausage Boy, a child in the form of an adult human male, is just like his namesake in Big. And now we've got Oliver showering Linda in cash like something from Indecent Proposal. I assume we're only a few episodes away from Roy tearing round the empty corridors of Gay Grables a la Jack Nicholson in The Shining. At least we've been spared the experience of having to listen to Kenton actually making the mocktails in the style of Tom Cruise. Nice to see Vince actually tell it how it is to Steph this week. Has he finally grown a pair? Or was it just that he's frustrated from having too much coq-au-vin with his daughter and not enough coq-au-vin with Lily? Keep up the good work, Neil. There's a PS. Was thinking more about old movie parallels. Now all I can picture is Tracy sending Arnold Schwarzenegger into bat at number 7 instead of Danny DeVito. # Gleason twins.
Do you think the Coco Van Blanc reference was sort of tied into the Chicken Factory? The sort of one versus the other. The parallels.
Yes, the parallels. The parallels.
Or do you think it just
English.
Wasn't?
Yes. I don't think it was, probably. But it did make me never want to eat chicken again, hearing both of those things.
Well, especially after the Chicken Factory.
Ah.
It made me feel quite sick.
Yeah. But it was, you're right though, it was the lovely chicken coco, whatever it was. And then the horrid old, you know, bits of it. And
then just the
chloroform
cocks.
Them and all that.
Yeah. The cocks that work there.
Auntie Jean says, so Oliver is licking the fate committee's arse and paying for it all. Not sure I like that or not. And why on earth has no one asked who owns the other bit of Gay Greybles? Vince apparently saw right through Steph from the word go. Yeah, right. Like Nadine isn't head over heels in love with Boris. And finally, no, just or, no. Denise is not the same dress size as Chelsea. That's like saying the Queen would fit into an outfit she wore in 1953. Just no. Sorry, but shouty. Love and peace, Auntie Jean.
I feel like maybe we're sort of like doing Denise a disservice. Maybe she does have the body of a 17-year-old. Because presumably you can. I mean, look at Victoria Beckham. She must be. She's got the body of a 12-year-old.
She hasn't got a body, though, has she? She's got a skeleton. It's just bones. There's
well, look at.
Bones and implants. That's not a body.
I'm trying to think of somebody else who's about Denise's age. I literally can't. I just can't think of it. Because you don't often see women over 30 on
the
internet. I literally can't think of anyone else who is over 30. Okay, so. Case closed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Lorraine Kelly, say. She looks great.
Really, really, really great, Lucy. Really, really great. Hang on. So good to see you. I think she's the person I most adore in the whole world.
You went for Breeze. He's got a massive crush on her.
Oh, God. But she's just... really, really, she'd be great on The Archers.
Yeah.
In fact, one Shambridge I did years and years ago did have Lorraine Kelly on it when I was good at doing her voice.
You are
I put her in it.
Her voice.
It's been a while. It's really good to see you today. I can't really get much further than that. It's really, really good. Really good.
Maybe she could be the special guest that they're getting to open the fate. Now they've got lots of money. They can pay people to come.
Oh my God, they could literally use it to pay for an appearance.
Someone decent.
That's so good.
Who would we have?
Holly Willoughby. This is my impression of Holly Willoughby.
Why does she do that?
I guess she's quite squeaky. Hi, Phil. Because she does. No, I love Holly Willoughby. I love her.
Okay.
So maybe they could have... No, it has to be someone Archer's...
Judy Dench.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Mm. I don't think she'll get out of bed for less than a million.
No. Well, Oliver's probably got a million. Now he's sold the hotel.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the end of the emails. We haven't had many.
Oh, well, actually, that's probably a good thing this week, isn't it, Lucy?
Yeah.
I think people have just stopped bothering. After the last couple of weeks.
They're either on holiday or they're watching the news slack-jawed.
I think they just switched to Love Island.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if anyone wants to email about Love Island, although I'm not watching it, I'm sort of keeping up through social media, et cetera, et cetera.
If you email us about Love Island, I will be forwarding it straight to Harriet and
you. Oh, my God, Lucy. I presume there is the Love Island podcast already. In fact, I know there is. I think ITV does it. But if there wasn't, we could do that as well. We could do like Love Island versus The Archers and sort of, you know, get the parallels.
Did you see the gentleman on Twitter who thought we were The Archers and sent us a very, very cross? I think he's on Facebook. Mr. Newbie's had to fend off all kinds of loons this week. Told us off very, very strongly.
It's not awful.
For allowing teenagers to take over The Archers. And poor Mr. Newby was frantically trying to say, it's not us.
We literally have no editorial control. We don't have any
We barely have any editorial control over this. And we actually do this. We definitely don't have any control over
I think
Archers.
The Archers, what would be cute is at the end of term, whenever their end of term is, they could let all The Archers podcasts do an episode.
Yeah.
Be quite interesting, wouldn't it? We do one, Cider Shed does one, Dumpty Dum does one.
Yeah.
Any other podcasts are available. Yeah. I don't think there are any other Archers ones.
Well, not this week, but we haven't checked. I mean, there could be another seven.
Yeah, there could be.
The rate they're popping up.
Oh, that's who everyone's emailing them, not us. Oh, bollocks.
Well, as long as they're emailing them to say that the Archers is terrible and what are they going to do about
Get rid of the teenagers. Yeah. To be honest, I don't think there are enough teenagers. Every teenager in the Archers is about 34.
It's quite odd because you've got this huge swathe of sort of post-70-year-olds and loads of 17-year-olds and not many people in between.
True. Mm. Well, also, they don't have the real teenagers, who are the sort of Henrys and...
Yeah.
Although they're tweenagers, aren't they? Yeah. Henrys and... I literally can't... Oh, what's George's... What's...
Kira.
George. George and Georgie. Kira. Yeah, because I'm always surprised how old Kira is, because Susan this week was like, oh, I don't...
Now
she
plays out by
Yeah,
herself.
She plays out
she's
by herself.
She's drinking Diamond White on the bus
I know. I think she's only 11. Mm. Don't think she's that old.
No.
I was like, shouldn't someone just check?
Were you
where
playing
she
out
is?
At that age? In the, inverted commas, village? That
I was,
hashtag,
actually.
Hashtag allegedly.
Because I lived in a village, because I genuinely lived in a village, Lucy, I was playing out at that age. Really? Maybe not at that age. Maybe 13, we'd go down to the river.
Mm. And
then
do what?
15, go to someone's house. 16, go and play pool in someone's garage. Mm. 15, drink. What was Ben Josh drinking? White Lightning and
beer.
Cider.
Yeah.
White Lightning is White Lightning
white,
cider.
White Lightning cider, yeah.
I wasn't drinking until I was 21. No, I think I was drinking White Lightning. I mean, just cider. It was so disgusting.
The good thing about it is, though, that it tastes exactly the same coming back up as it did going down.
So oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but when you're 15, it doesn't come back up. Because you can just hold it. When you're 17, say, you're just hardcore and you could just drink and drink and drink. Mm. It's disgusting, isn't it? I wish I was Italian or Spanish. Then I wouldn't need to drink. Just have a nice time without having to get drunk. I remember going to an 18th in Italy. All her friends were there. None of them had a drink, but they were all dancing together, boys and girls, touching each other without needing the need
you
to
see,
put a tongue in their
they
mouth.
They have sex. That's the. That's the...
They have a really lovely, jolly time.
Yeah.
And they're just cool.
Sophisticated.
Sophisticated. Yes. Yeah.
Whereas we're just laughing our asses
awkward,
off. Awkward.
Yeah. Apologetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not as aesthetically pleasing, is it?
No. Right. And now,
There's more to this podcast. I always forget this.
To Radio Borsetshire.
Borsetshire.
Where Febreze is about to embark upon his first catering experiment.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, guess what? It is all up eve from the Borchester Airdressing Council meeting last night. The president have resigned. He was using straighteners without due care and attention. He did not want to go, but all senior stylists sent resignation instas saying, I don't want to talk about it, babe, but the universe telling me time to move on. So he say, okay, I go, but he won't give back the ceremonial tongs of office until autumn, which make everybody get very cross and passion aggressive. I think I might throw my hat into some rings. But can I hold formal office while also being celebrity radio present? Yes? No? I cannot tell what that sign mean, Colin. Oh. Hello, this is Febreze of Felpesham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon... Because I have. This week I did a broadcast outside again to celebrate Borchester Business Week. Here is how I got on with it. Hello, here is Febreze. It is Borchester Business Week and I am working at Ian's pizza business from his van. It is called Take the Pizza. Adam and Ian were very keen for me to work on it as they said it would be good PR and also they are bored of it already and could not be bothered. It is not just me, obviously. I could not do this all by myself. I have an assistant, Xander. He is refilling the gas cylinders for me at the moment. Are you okay, Xander? Oh, yes. He sounds quite happy back there. He is a bit smaller than I was expecting, but he seemed to know what he is doing. It gets quite hot in here. The mozzarella has go all stringy, but it is nice to be with real food. As Declan is making us get bikini ready, so all we are eat at home is edamame beans and fish collagen. Oh, hello. I have got a customer. Hello, customer.
Oh, hiya, Febreze. I'm starving. That smells... Well, it just smells. Is that burning metal?
Probably. Xander is out the back fixing it. He has got Bob the Builder screwdriver and a blowtorch.
Oh, okay. As long as it's under control, we don't want another explosion in the village. We haven't had one for weeks now. What's on the menu?
Oh, I have been practicing this. Okay, you can have a due formaggi, which is tomato topped with Borchester Blue and whatever Susan found in the back of the fridges. There is also the Kate Aldridge, which is gluten-free, lactose-free, vegetarian and only local vegetable. So it is basically a big slice of tomato with a mushroom on it. Very health. We have an Otto the Bull, which is spicy beef. Oh, how about a culvert? No one know what's in it until it is too late. Or there is Radio 4 Extra, which is very nice, but it repeat.
These are strange toppings, Febreze.
I am not much good with tops. I know where I am with bottoms.
I'll go for the due formaggi, I think. Can I choose what cheese I have?
No. It is compulsory that whenever you have a cheese thing in Ambridge, you are legally obliged to have Borchester Blue. Xander, can you fire up the temperature?
Are you sure it's not hot enough already, Febreze? Your nail varnish is blistering.
I know. I think my filler is melting too.
It is. You look like Morph.
Okay, Xander, can you hold the heat? We think hot enough. Oof. This is like Jack's on a Saturday when we had a celebrity appearance from Carol Kirkwood. I cannot get near enough to the pizza stone to put the pizza in. I have this pizza shovel thing, look, but it's not long enough. Whoops, that was olive oil. Oh, wee, it look, it is all slip like dancing on ice. I think I need longer pokey thing. Xander, I need long metal pole for putting in oven. Oh, thank you. You look a bit flustered, Xander. Are you okay? Do you need a drink? When you finish welding, I'll get your sippy cup.
Febreze, that poker he's given you looks like the back axle of the van.
Oh, what is that? Xander, go quickly. Don't forget Teddy. Krusty, I think Dewey for Marge are going to be done a bit quicker than expected. Krusty, it's ready. There is piece of it in top of that tree there, look. Thank you for visiting Take the Pizza. May I take your email address for feedback form? So, well done to Borchester Business Week and to me and Xander. He can go surprisingly quick on that little tricycle. So, remember to support your local business. It is very important or they will all go busted. I am lucky. I have very good local business. It's called Waitrose and is very convenient. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. If you'd like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. If you would like to leave us a review, we thank you very, very, very much. Just make sure it's a nice one. And if you'd like to subscribe, that would also be fantastic. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at On Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. And there's still time to vote in the British Podcasts Awards. BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote.
Can I tell you something funny about that? I've got to be, yeah. I don't want to annoy anyone.
Okay.
We have a listener who messages regularly and says, I love you. You guys, you're brilliant. You really make me laugh. You start my week really, really well. I listen to you on Mondays on driving to work. Da, 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 da. Practically every day I get a message, or we get a message. And then
very nice.
The latest one said, I voted for the cider shed. Thanks a lot. Brilliant. Okay.
No, but it was like, who was that lovely Twitterer that said
it's
like...
a review and then...
No, but she said it's like choosing between your favourite child. You love them both, but it's hard to choose. But you can actually vote for both of us.
Oh, good.
Because if you have two email addresses, you could vote for us with one email address and then with the other. And then that's fair dues. Anyway, it's not about the winning, Lucy. It's
You've
not
just
about the winning.
You reminded me of something.
Oh, yeah? What?
I know what it was. My friend Richard was telling me that his parents, she was Labour and the father was Conservative.
Oh my God.
And they never talked about politics because of that. But they decided not to vote in the local elections because they'd cancel each other out.
Oh.
After he died, she found out that every time he went to the pub, he'd walk the dog and he'd go to the polling station and vote. And it was a huge joke in the village because everyone knew except her. And she was furious.
Oh my God. You would be?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
I can't understand. I find it incredible that people are married who politically think completely differently.
I know, because it like defines who you are as a person. And
but also, how can you
are.
Not talk? It must be really hard to not talk about politics occasionally. Yeah.
Because when you're moaning about, you know, the state of something or other or whatever, and then the other person goes, and you go, oh, well, they're just idiots, aren't they? And then the other person goes, well, no, I don't actually think they are. And then you're in the middle of a row immediately.
Yeah. You'd have to be very... Mm. I think there was a lot more going on in that marriage as well, yes. as the voting differently. how funny.
Yes. So don't do that, ladies and gentlemen.
I just vote for us. Thanks.
Yes. And now, this week, Matt Rodriguez Payne. You won't remember this, Harriet. Here we go again. Do you remember A Low, A Low?
Yeah, of course I do. Okay. I loved A Low, A Low.
I've now got it into my head that you're basically 12, so now I'm panicking about everything.
And I like to encourage that.
Yes, I know. So he's done, in tribute to Febreze, who does have more than a whiff of the René Artois about him.
He does.
I think. He's done us and a low, a low theme tune. Are you ready?
Oh, that's cool. Yes. This is the BBC. The fish is yellow. I repeat, the fish is yellow. Is yellow.
Mooning. All I can remember
is my God. I am pissing myself. I was just pissing.
And all I can remember is the old lady upstairs in the bed.
With the ear trumpet.
Yes. And she'd bang on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd shout, Edith, Edith, why does nobody come to me? Banging on the floor.
I mean, I did really enjoy it, but I was quite little. But I loved it also because my parents watched it and pissed themselves.
Yes.
They thought it was so funny. And when you're a kid, you know, you think it's hilarious if your parents...
And it's just nice to see your parents happy as well.
Yeah.
And laughing at something.
Yeah. Oh, Lucy. Yeah. No, it was very bad. I liked little Mimi. Maybe because she was the shortest.
Yes.
Oh, it was so cute, wasn't it? But then I don't know that you could... Have you ever seen it now?
No, I don't. No. I'm not sure.
That's the trouble, isn't it?
Certainly wouldn't get made, but would it get played? I don't know.
I don't know. And would one laugh now? But I think the police, I was just pissing. He was the funniest, wasn't he? The policeman.
I think anything like that where just the language is mangled is just funny.
It is so funny. BBC, the Archers coming to you from Ambridge on the couch. I love Call My Agent.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it because I just love it. I love the Frenchness of it.
Yes.
And it makes me want to speak French again.
Yeah.
Because I did French at, I actually did it at university, but oh, shit. So I gave up. But I want to speak it again. Je veux parler le français avec les français. J'habite à... Oui, avez-vous les animaux domestiques? And even if you like go on and do it at A-level, I can still actually only remember what I learned when I was 12.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you only remember the first things you learn.
Le chien est mignon et méchant. There's something about, though, watching things like Call My Agent and then if you watch something like Borgen or whatever, everybody started thinking that they convinced themselves they could actually understand most of what was going on without the... And you think, no, because if you turn off the subtitles, now try. See? No clue. Stop it.
I totally agree. Tack.
That's it.
I think I'm really good at French now because of just watching it. Because occasionally you recognise a word and you're like, oh my God, I'm suddenly brilliant at French again.
I am learning Welsh at the moment because I'm moving to Wales next year.
Oh shit. Is that a requirement for getting in?
No, but it stops you being a dick. Annoying dick.
They have that fun, their lch. What's it called? That, like, what's the word for it? That, lch. You know, that, you know, they say, yeah.
Yes.
But there's like a word for the sound.
I don't know, but you sound like you're speaking Klingon. I'm not sure that's...
I was speaking Frisian.
I don't know what the... I've forgotten what the Welsh thing is. But anyway, I'm doing it through Duolingo, which makes you say hilarious sentences in Welsh. All it's taught me to say so far is I am a dragon, which is quite useful because I am quite a lot of the time. I can say I am a dragon and I can introduce somebody called Morgan to Mrs. Jones. That's very useful.
That's very useful.
It is. So the first thing I'm going to have to do is dress as a dragon, and then the second two things is find somebody called Morgan and somebody called Mrs. Jones who I can introduce them to.
Make sure you don't accidentally get the word dragon mixed up for drag queen or something.
Yeah, I am
and
a drag
you
queen.
Tell all your neighbours you're a drag queen, which would be fun. But they might wonder what you're doing in the middle of Snowdonia. And maybe Natasha's mum is going to be up there.
Yes.
That would be great.
Lovely.
Oh, maybe, Lucy, you could. I mean, I assume we are definitely going to hear her. I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for Pat and Natasha's mum to have awkward conversations.
Yeah. Because Natasha's mum will be all about the routine, crying, everything else.
Yeah.
Pat will be about, no, just lay him down in the dandelions and the birds will feed him or something. Yes.
Them. Apparently, they say you should... If you have a baby, you should basically sit the baby in a farm for 2 weeks for it to get all its immune bits and bobs.
Yes. I mean, immune bits and bobs.
Quite a difficult thing to do if you don't live near a farm.
Mm, I don't think farmers like it if you just do that without checking either.
You should probably get permission to leave your
pram. How do babies feel about buffalo?
Well, don't leave a baby too near a buffalo would be my advice, Lucy.
Yeah, I think that's good advice.
Thank you.
There we go. As we move into next week, don't leave a baby near a buffalo. That's this week's advice from Amazon.
Pre-order your mozzarellas.
Yeah.
Make sure Susan isn't sending them to you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she should.
Yeah.
How can you send a cheese in the post? How can you? You can't.
Of course you can. I get cheese boxes sometimes.
What, do they wrap it up in ice?
Yes.
Oh.
Not ice, just insulated thing, which you then use to make your high-tech studio at home.
Oh, yes, Lucy, that's brilliant.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
Next week, let me see the ice box studio.
Okay,
deal.
Okay, right, goodbye, everybody. I'm going to play us out with...
La, 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 la. Oh, no, that's not it. I didn't recognise the music, actually. I don't remember the theme tune. Oh, yeah.
I think he should have called it Allo U2 rather than Allo Allo. But anyway, we'll play you out with Allo U3, too. And have a lovely week. And hang on to your sanity as everything else
may
is
Gemma,
going bonkers around
may,
you.
May you not be Gemma'd
may
this
you
week.
Not, yes, may you rule out Gemma's.
May you only be Gleason'd.
Yeah. And don't leave a baby near a buffalo. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.